Hello and welcome to Reddy and Newman's Daily Podcast, your go-to place for common questions about immigration to the United States. Reddy and Newman is a team of experienced business immigration attorneys who handle a host of visa categories and complex immigration cases. This podcast will provide an insight into our daily free conference calls hosted by our attorneys, as well as discussions on hot immigration topics. Please note that information provided is not to be construed as legal advice for your specific situation and does not constitute an engagement with Reddy and Newman PC or establish an attorney-client relationship. For specific advice on your situation, please contact an attorney. Here's your host.
Hi, this is Rahul. The date today is September 10th, 2019. The time is 11:30 a.m. Reddy and Newman PC does conduct conference calls every day. For those people who are listening to this conference call, I'm on the podcast and other media. Please check our timings at rnlawgroup.com. For those people who are in the conference call, if you want to ask a question, please press *6. You'll be called with the last four digits of your phone number, and you can ask the question. *6 to ask question. 6321. You have a question.
Good morning. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Good morning, sir. I have a question. So, right now, my H-1B extension is in process, and I got my RFP, and I have like 2 months to respond to the RFP. So if I join CPT during this period, will it be valid? Like, what is the process? Like, should I need to
We don't advise people joining day one CPT universities because we consider they are all illegal universities. There are only 10 universities that we're doing it. Out of those 10 universities, two of them are in jail. Two of the universities are actually, Two of them are actually conducted by the USCIS. A sting operation. There are about 7 left right now. We don't consider them as legal universities. I understand where you're getting at, but when out of the 11 universities, two of them are in jail, two of them are a sting operation. That statistic should show that there is something wrong in these day one CPT universities. I know there are a lot of students who are enrolled in it, but that doesn't make F1 student visa is not to get a work permit. Work permit is incidental to school is different. You didn't even go to school and you get the work permit. We don't consider that as legal, sir.
So my visa is going to expire today, the valid H-1. However, I have a receipt notice to work on. So what do you suggest me to do now? Like,
of course, do the premium processing, respond to the RFP. That would be ideal. But if you think so, it's a very risky, you can join in some university if you want to stay in this country. We don't have solutions for everybody.
So, like, say I responded to my RFP and it got denied, and which I don't have any status to stay back. So, how many days am I allowed to stay after that?
When is your OPT expiring?
No, it's not OPT, mate. It's H-1B. H-1B expires today.
Oh, H-1B expires today. Well, if H-1B expires today, once a denial comes in, you'll be out of status, sir. Second thing is that you won't get a CPT. You won't even get a CPT even if you go to these illegal universities because you have to get F-1 visa, which takes about 17, 18 months. Yeah, if you get the H-1B denial, you can leave immediately. That's one of the options that's there. If you stay for more than 180 days, there is a 10-year bar. But typically, people leave 2 to 3 weeks after their H-1B gets denial. And they don't face much problem in the consulate if they do that, if they want to try to come back.
Okay, even though if I...
Sorry, were you speaking something?
Hello? If I get a CPT, so it will take to change from H-1 to CPT, it will take 18 months, that was said?
Yeah, between 10 months to 18 months it will take for you to. Because for a CPT, for them to issue, you have to convert to the F-1. F-1 take that much time. And you have to maintain your H-1B status until the F-1 is approved. So practically, that's not possible for you because your H-1B is expiring in one day. 8089, you have a question for us.
Yeah, hi, Rahul. I had a question. What are an employee's rights in getting details about an RFP or denial details from the employer if they are not sharing it proactively?
not much. The only thing you can do is file a Freedom of Information online to get a copy of your H-1B or RFE. They may not issue an RFE, but they will issue an H-1B. They may issue some of the details of the application. Not much. H-1B is a complete employer-controlled thing.
And I would
but
not
is
be requiring... Sorry.
Is there something where they... Is it something that you have paid the money to the company? Then you can sue them in the civil case and get a lot of damages from them. But if you have not, you just want to have a copy of it. If they don't provide, there is nothing much you can do for it now.
So since I'm working on receipt, in future, if I apply for another position, will I not need a copy of the denial to prove that I was legally working in that duration on the basis of a receipt that was eventually denied?
Yeah, that's a courtesy. They should be giving it, but there is no mandatory thing that I can tell that they will be forced to give you the denial to you.
Okay. All right. Okay? Thank you.
But receipt notice is enough for you to show evidence that you can work with the company. You don't need a denial notice at all. Receipt notice is enough. 2476, you have a question for us.
Hi, this is about H-1B. I have a H-1B with my previous employer. I'm not sure whether it is revoked. And I have I-94 valid till Jan 2022. And I filed for H-1 transfer. And I got an RFP. In case if my RFP with the contracting firm gets denied, what are my options?
You can use something called a 60-day grace period. Even though we know that your H-1B with the previous company might have been revoked, okay? Even though your H-1B might have been revoked, you can still use the grace period that you have it. We have tried many times successfully in that. It's a little bit gray area, but we have been using it very successfully, and we haven't yet got a denial yet.
Okay, so I don't need to leave the country, and I can stay in the country, and I can look for another employer who can sponsor my H-1 transfer, right?
Right, that's right. Not a lot of companies would be willing to file that 60-day argument based on this. Some of the companies are hesitant in filing it.
Oh, okay.
1532, you have a question for me.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. So, basic question is can we apply for a passport renewal while the petition is pending with the USG?
Absolutely not a problem, sir. Absolutely not a problem, sir. You have any more questions?
Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. You can absolutely not a problem. Just the passport number has changed now. You have a new passport. It won't cause any problem whatsoever in the non-immigrant application. 2062, you have a question for us.
Yeah, so I have a quick question. So I'm on CPT right now. I'm on student visa, and I'm thinking to apply for H4EAD. But my question is, should I need to stop working once I start processing H4EAD, or can I work until H4EAD got approved?
And you said you're an OPT right now, is that right?
I'm on CPT.
Well, technically, your work authorization... I won't just support the CPT in general, but if somebody has a work authorization, if they file for H-4 plus EAD, they can continue working on the work authorization until their EAD is approved, and H-4 is approved.
Okay, got it. Yeah, thank you.
2525.
Yeah, hello, sir. Actually, my wife has B1, B2 visa, and she is in India, so can she apply for H-4 visa?
Oh, yeah, she can. You are on H-1 visa, right?
Yeah, I'm on H-1 visa.
Yes, so she should apply for H-4.
Okay.
Yeah, she can apply, absolutely.
Okay, so if she come here on H-4, say, for example, and in future, say, for example, she return back and she wants to come back on B-1, so is that possible?
Why would somebody want to come on B-1 when they have H-4?
Yeah, because maybe she will take some kind of sabbatical leave from her office and she will come here on S4. But maybe after 6 months or 7 months, she will want to return back and join her company. And in case company wants to send her back on business visa, in that case, can she use her B-1 visa at that time?
Technically, she can, but there are some issues with it. Because for B-1 visa person, when they're entering into United States, their intention should not be to work for a company. Their intention should not be to stay here for a long-term purposes here. So there are some problems associated with it. They have to be careful in articulating, look, I'm here coming on a business visa here. But then, are you going to work? If they say they're going to work, they'll be kicked out. If they're okay. visiting, and why can't you visit on H-4? Why do you need a B-1 to visit? So these are the questions that are very, there's fine lines that they need to be. Yes, they can, okay. but I would have them speak with the lawyer before they come into this country.
Okay, sure. And one last question. So, like, her company has filed her H-1 for her right now, but, like, we are awaiting the results and not sure how much time will it take. So, in this meantime, can I file her H-4 so that she can come here? And once her H-1 yes. results come, then she can go back and get her stamping?
You can, absolutely. That's only possible because she's applying for H-4. But make sure that she doesn't come here on a B-1 visa unless she speaks with a lawyer when the H-1B is pending. But absolutely, right. H-4 is not a problem.
Okay, so right now, like, if she takes an interview date for H-4 and right now already H-1 is also in process, so they will not conflict, right?
They are not conflict. I want to work with that company, and this is my husband. Absolutely not a problem.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
6087, you have a question for us.
Yeah, hi, Rahul. I have a question about visa stamping. Mm-hmm. I have a valid visa. Me and my wife both have valid visa until December of this mm-hmm. year. And recently, I'm planning to change employer, and my H-1B transfer is approved. And I have a I-94 valid till February 2022. So I'm planning to go on a vacation in November. My wife's H-4 is still pending, but she already left the country. So my two questions are, one, do we have to withdraw her H-4 pending petition? And the second one is, do we have to go for visa stamping, or can we just show my H-1B approval notice at CBP and enter back in?
Here is what's going to happen. It doesn't matter whether you withdraw the H-4 or not. You can come back before December of 2019, and you can show your H-1B approval that shows that it's valid until 2022 or whatever time it might be. And make sure that you get an I-94 until 2022. Don't go to January of 2020 and find out your I-94 is only until December of 2019. When it comes to your wife, though, she doesn't have a passport stamping. She doesn't have anything. So even if the H-4 is approved for her, it won't make any difference. They will only allow her to come until December of 2019. She can wait until the other H-4 is approved. I won't completely rely on that. I'll file one more extension once she comes into the country.
So she cannot enter back with my H-1B approval and get her I-94?
She can enter back until December. No, she won't get the extension I-94. She will only get it until December. If she wants to get directly, there are two options. She can get the stamping, or she comes back and files an extension. These are the two things that she needs to do. 1641.
Hi, Rahul. I had a question. My STEM OPT mm-hmm. was denied. Can I apply mm-hmm. for H-4 and H-4 EAD because my husband has I-140 approved?
One problem. Why was your STEM OPT denied?
Because of the wrong fee, actually. I applied twice. They rejected on August 22nd.
You can't. I would not recommend you apply for H-4. I would recommend that you go to India and apply for the H-4 visa now. The reason is that you're out of civil system right now.
Yeah. Hello? Okay. I want to open MTR for that because I paid the correct fees and I had every document.
You can discuss these options with a lawyer to see if that's the right method or not. What is the correct key? Why it happened and all those things. I don't want you to stay in this country for a long period of time and get a lot of negative consequences. Even if you file an MTR, it's going to take 6 months for you to get any result. And if the results come negative, according to our statistics, you have only 3-5% chance. Now, I'm not looking into the details right now. Why not you just go to India, get the H-4 stamping, come back here? It will resolve all the problems.
Okay, because my husband, H-1 is in extension. That's why I'm thinking.
Tell him to do premium processing.
Okay.
Okay. That's a better way of, because you headbutting with them right now is not a good idea for you at all. Not a good idea. I mean, it's going to be good income for lawyers if you want, but I would not suggest. 4327, you have a question for us.
Hey, hi. This is Deepthi, and I have a question here. I have applied for my both H-4 and H-4 EAD, so both simultaneously, for renewal. The previous one expired on August 31st, but now when I got my receipts, I gave my biometrics on 23rd, but when I looked the status online for the case, I could see only the status for H-4, not for the H-4 EAD. So, suggestions that I can get the status?
If you have the EAD receipt notice with you, just because online status doesn't say anything, you don't have to be much worried about it. But you're saying that your OPT already expired, is that right?
No, not OPT, H4.
H4 already expired. And EAD already expired.
Yeah.
And they may take a long time.
I mean,
I'm not worried that your EAD status is not showing online. I'm not that much worried. But it may take up to 5 to 10 months for you to get an EAD to be approved along with the H4 approval. So you may want to consider joining a litigation. Radian Newman PC files litigation every 2 weeks, groups up all the people, and through that we get an EAD approval faster. If you want to, you can join by dropping an email at info@rnlawgroup.com.
Can you please repeat that? Info?
info@rnlawgroup.com. Okay.
rnlawgroup, right?
Yeah. Dot com.
Okay.
1429, do you have a question for us?
Yeah. I have applied an H4 extension for my wife, and she had a biometrics 1st of August, but she did not receive any approval, and her H4 is going to expire on 20th. Does she need to leave the U.S. or she can stay until...
No. If the extension is pending, she can stay in the country. She doesn't have to leave the country.
Okay. Any estimated time to get this approval process, H4?
H4 is taking about 6 months to 12 months right now. But she can stay legally. If she wants to have a work permit, then I would recommend that she join the litigation.
She has a EAD,
but it's expiring, right?
If she's not
working, if she's not working, there's no need for you to spend the money for litigation. You can, she can stay in the country if the extension is pending. Absolutely not a problem.
Okay. Thank you so much.
5465, you have a question for us.
Hi, Rahul. So I have a H-1B with employer A, and it is valid until next year, July. I got a, and he's willing to do my H-1B transfer. So let's say my H-1B transfer to employer B is approved, but I got my H-1B only for a shorter duration. So at that point of time, do I still have to go to the employer B, or else I can stick with my employer A itself?
You can stick with employer A. You don't have to go with employer B.
All right, so I definitely have to move with employer B.
No, I said you can stick with employer A. You don't have to go to with employer B.
It's okay. Okay, all right. Thank you.
Okay. 9703, you have a question for us.
Hi, Rahul. So, Rahul, I have employer A and employer B applied for my H-1B newly, and I got approval from employer A. Second, employer B also submitted RFE documents. So, but I would like to stick with my employer A only. Is there any problem? I will get employer B also submitted the documents, right?
This is a new quota case, right?
Yes, new quota.
So are you working with employer A or are you working with employer B?
Currently, I'm working with employer A and got approval from employer A also.
Well, why do you worry about employer B then? Let him get the approval, get the approval if you want to continue with...
No, I don't. My question is, employer B also submitted the documents. I'm just worrying if I get the approval from the employer B, is there any effect on my current employer A?
No,
that's what my question.
No effect. You can continue working with employer A.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much.
Next caller, 8348.
Hey, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah. My question is, I got my H-1B approved last month, but I have not received anything from my wife. She's on H-4, and we are completing, and she's completing 240 days period also. So can she stay here legally? We are completing 240 days in the next 10 days. So can she stay legally, or we have to...
Okay. Wait a minute. Both H-1B and H-4, both of them have been filed extensions?
Yeah, both were filed in January,
but
I got
what happened?
RFE.
What? what happened? H-1B is still pending, is it right?
No. H-1B, I got approval. Yeah. H-1B is approved now. Yeah.
Okay. So H-4 person, there is no 240-day rule. So she can stay absolutely not a problem.
Okay, so that 240 days doesn't apply on H-4, is it?
No, it does not.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. And
8438, yeah, one more question?
Yes, I was asking that 240 days starts with visa validity or the I-94 validity?
It is not applicable to H-4, sir.
Yeah, but as a next question for my information, that for H-1 also,
it's only applicable limited circumstances. I don't want to take and use one thing to another thing. You can come back to ask specific question. 240-day rule is not applicable at all for H-4. Now, I don't want you to apply this 240-day rule for anything unless there is only one specific thing. When that specific thing comes in, you come to the conference call. I don't want to use it outside that one particular thing. And you are out of that one particular thing. Your wife, it's not applicable. Next call, 8873.
Yeah. Hi, Ronald. This is Ravi. So I have a question regarding H-4 and H-4 EAD. It's for my wife. So the receive date is May 24th. And biometrics done somewhere in the June 2nd week or so. So her H-4 EAD is going to expire in October 31st. So is it good for me to file the litigation or because everybody is getting
a long time.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, it's good for you to go for litigation, sir. The next litigation is September 27th for us.
Oh, no, I heard it's September 13th or so.
We close that. No more slots in there. We close it 1 week before.
Okay. But is there any guarantee that it once we file the litigation, it's going to approve within 1 month or so? It might take 2 months also.
It might take two months. It is not guaranteed. There are cases that have taken more than 1 month. But those people who have taken, 2 months, almost everybody got it. But 1 month, no, sir.
Okay. So the next available date is September 27th, right? It's not
yes. And you have to try to book it well in advance because this is a group litigation. You have to group all the people, make sure everybody falls into the same criteria. So we close it out 4 days before to make sure that we have prepared, and if there is anything missing, we need to work with them. And if you're interested, drop an email at info@rnlgroup.com.
Yeah, I would love to do that, but if in between. Before September 27th, if our H-4 is approved, so
if it is approved before September 25th, you will get all the money refunded.
Okay.
9688, you have a question for us.
Yes. Hi, Rahul. Recently, my H-1B got approved for about a year and a half until December 2020. I'm in CPT right now, and yesterday they issued a cancel notice that I need to visit the consulate to get my I-94 updated, so I don't see any I-94 records. So what's your suggestion on this?
You said your H-1B is approved without the I-94 or with I-94?
Without I-94.
Okay. Did they apply for the change of status or they did not apply for change of status?
Yes. They did apply for change of status. But yesterday there is a notice to my employer that I need to visit the Hyderabad consulate for change of status.
Yeah, you need to consult a lawyer immediately because it's not proper for the CPT people to apply for change of status. Now, the USCIS is telling that you violated the status and you are going to the Department of State, which is also the same thing that comes out of the U.S. government, and telling that, look, the USCIS has denied, they didn't consider that I'm in legal status, but please approve my H-1B. It's a very sensitive issue. I would recommend that you contact a lawyer immediately.
So it says that it has been determined that the renewal workers are not eligible for the request to change your status. You will receive
I know the reason. I am aware of it. The reason is that because they didn't thought that you maintain the status. CPTs, day one CPTs, are you from HCC Harrisburg, Cumberland, or Campusville University?
Yeah, I'm doing my PhD at Cumberland University.
Yeah, those are the three universities that we don't consider them as to be legal universities. I was telling the other people that a lot of the owners have gone to jail, and we don't consider these three universities as good universities. And that's the reason, and that's the reason why you need to consult a lawyer. There are many, many, many videos on it, YouTube, Facebook, and also articles that Radio Newman PC has published. Go and type in day one CPT, and you will find a lot of those articles. And you need to consult a lawyer immediately. I don't know how your lawyer or your company filed under change of status. 2731, you have a question for us. 2731, you have a question for us. 5579. 5579, you have a question for us.
Yeah, hello, hi. Hello, Mr. Rahul. I have a question. I have a green card, and I'm on a green card since March 21st, actually, 2014. But when I got the green card, I was in India, and I came back here and I was here for 2 months. And again, I went back, and I came back on July 2015.
How did you get the green card? What basis did you get the green card?
Actually, my husband filed through his company, that was HP company, and through his company, we got the green card, basically.
So your husband is the main employment-based applicant, and you are the derivatory. Okay, you got the green card, you came into
behalf.
USA, okay?
Okay. No, I got green card on behalf of him. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, keep going.
So can I file citizenship like, yeah. So I came to U.S. in 2015, July, and since then I'm living here. It's been like now 4 years, 2 months. So can I apply for citizenship all by myself, or what do you suggest? I mean, I went through that immigration thing, and they said, like, I can apply individually like that. So is it really possible? Or
what do you mean individually? Citizenship can only be applied individually.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be joined. You can't join your husband with you. You can apply individually. But you got in 2014, which month did you get, you said?
2014, March 21st, I got. But at that time, I was in India. In 2 weeks, I came to U.S. And I lived here for 3 months because
okay.
my kids were in school, and I went back again. And after 1 year, I came back, and till now, I'm living in U.S. So do I fall into that 4 years, 1 month rule? I can apply under that, or you want me to wait for 5 years?
Four year, 1 day rule, not 1 month.
Yeah, yeah, 4 years, 1 day.
But you're telling me that you, from 4 years and 2 months,
you have been
in the country, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can
so
file
can
a green card application right now. Yeah.
So I can still apply, right?
Yeah, of course you can.
Okay, then. Okay, because I am asking you because I got my green card on behalf of my husband actually. So I'm thinking like maybe I should apply along with him. So I can apply individually.
No, you can apply even if your husband does not apply. It doesn't matter. Even if you're married to him or not married to him, it doesn't matter. That's irrelevant.
Oh, okay. And one more question.
Go ahead, ma'am. You have a question? One more question.
Yeah, because when I got the green card, all through those years I was on H-4 visa, and he was the one who applied, I mean, taxes and all. He did all the filing and all. So that will affect my green, I mean, the citizenship processing thing, or what should, like, it doesn't affect anything like that?
No, it doesn't affect anything at all.
Okay then. Thank you very much. Thanks for your
I got my green card when I was on H-4. There's nothing wrong with it. The last caller today, I'm sorry we couldn't attend all the people, and for those people, I have a last caller that I'll take. For those people whom we couldn't attend, you can come back to the next conference call, or you can come back to Facebook and YouTube Live that we have at Radio Newman PC. You can check it out. We will answer as many questions as possible for a period of 1 hour today at 5 p.m. Central Time. The last caller that we have is 4829. You have a question for us.
Hi, this is Sirisha. And right now, I have got my H1 pit, and I got an RFE on my purchase order. So at my present client, I didn't get any update yet. So is there any possibility that I could refile the LCA with the new client or with the new purchase order?
Is this a quota case?
This H1 is filed under the consulate process.
Is this a quota case? Filed in April 1st week of 2019.
Yes.
Okay. No,
yes,
you can't file another LC and do it. Yeah, you can't file another LC and do it now. Okay.
Okay. So you only thing I have to do is the same client.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Gerson.
Thank you for listening to Reddy & Neumann Daily Podcast. We sincerely hope that you've taken something valuable out of it. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. For more information or if you want to make an appointment, check out our websites, rnlawgroup.com and immigrationgirl.com. Have an awesome day.